Welcome and thank you for joining today's California ISO Media Briefing. Please note that all audio lines have been muted until the Q&A portion of the call. We will give you instructions on how to ask a verbal question at that time. With that, I'll turn the call over to Mr. Eric Schmidt, Vice President of Operations. Eric, please go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon, everyone. I appreciate you joining the call and taking the time to gather some information from us. I'm happy to report that yesterday we did not have to direct any rolling outages. And consumers were the key to this success for yesterday. You know, a couple of days ago when we visited, I talked about how we have to operate the system, how we plan for extreme contingencies, and we set up the system accordingly because we know things happen on the system. We know there's failures, and those failures happen in real time. And that margin begins to narrow when we have grid conditions like we had yesterday. This is undoubtedly the most stressful grid day that we've had this year, and maybe in the last 10 years. But conservation from consumers increased our margin, and that's what happened yesterday. Because we had no rolling outages, even though during our critical load pull period in the 5 p.m., 6 p.m., 7 p.m. Time frame, we lost transmission and some generation, we were still able to ride through that because of the margin that was held increased by consumer conservation. So it's hard to describe how thankful and grateful we are for the work that people out there did just to control their electricity consumption. We also got a lot of help from others in the community. The governor's emergency declaration clearly helped us. It put a spotlight on where we were. State agencies, energy suppliers pulled out the stops, market participants, consumer choice aggregates, and neighboring BAs all stepped up to help us, and we really appreciate it. 960 megawatts of demand response came from California Large Energy Consumers Association, a huge asset for us when we're in these kinds of periods. So again, very, very thankful for that. And I would like to add that our operators performed exceptionally well during this event yesterday. So thanks to them as well. John Phipps is also with us. He's our Director of Real-Time Operations. And John, maybe you can give us some more detail on events from yesterday and then maybe how we look today.
Thank you, Eric. Yeah, this is John Phipps. Yeah, I'll do a little review of yesterday. It was a very stressful day. As Eric mentioned, we did have several contingencies happen, so it did push us towards the edge. Earlier in the day, we had got back some of the generation that had tripped on Saturday due to the fires down in the Imperial Valley area. But just right after that, though, we had lost that 500 megawatt unit that was down in Southern California. We had mentioned yesterday that it was due to a fire, and it turns out as we got more details, it was actually a fire at the plant itself. The unit had experienced a failure, and they had a fire there at the plant that forced the unit offline. So it was out for yesterday and today. As we rolled into the afternoon, the load was continuing to climb, and we were tracking pretty close to our day-ahead forecast. And so around, let's see, it was 1600 that we did declare a, The warning was around noon, and then around 1600, 1630, so around 4:30 p.m., we did end up calling on the demand response products that Eric had just mentioned. That was to help buy us another couple of hours as we moved closer to the time so we knew we were going to be tight on resources, and that did help. That pushed us another couple of hours into it. We got to around 5:40 p.m. And we were squeaking by, and we did lose one line of a DC circuit coming out of Oregon area into Southern California. We lost about 1,100 megawatts of energy when that happened. And due to that, it caused some additional, the energy was still flowing on the system at the, initially, and it caused some additional overloads that we had to curtail another 500 megawatts on the AC lines. And so we lost around 1,600 megawatts of energy within minutes. And then just a short time after that, we actually had five smaller generators that are at one single plant trip. So within a matter of 10 minutes, we lost nearly 2,000 megawatts of capacity. So that pushed us right to the edge. We did declare our stage two emergency. That allows us to begin pulling on some more of our emergency response actions and tools. And one of those is that we actually allows us to get additional assistance from our neighboring utilities and dispatch some additional resources that are held aside for emergencies. And so we did dispatch some energy, and we got some energy from our neighbors, a good amount from LA, SMUD, all the neighboring utilities throughout the West here chipped in and helped us get through that period. It was very, very tight. The operators were really doing a balancing act here where they're managing multiple transmission constraints while trying to make sure there was enough energy for the load. We did make it through. We set a peak load for the year at 5:43 p.m. of 47,236 megawatts. So that is the peak for 2020 so far. Thank goodness it actually was a little bit below forecast, or actually quite a bit. It came in around 1,900 megawatts below forecast. Some of that definitely from conservation. So again, thank you very much. Looking forward to today and the next couple of days, the temperatures are cooling. And it appears that even today in Southern California, they're seeing some onshore flows off the ocean that they are coming in stronger than had been forecasted. So today, currently, we are trending below our forecast. Our forecast for today was a 45,797 megawatts. We're currently running 2,500 to 3,000 megawatts below that right now. So that's definitely a good outlook for us. We have got back much of the generation from yesterday and transmission, so we're doing better, but we are still concerned with making it through this afternoon. It's the conservation is just always going to help us get by and protect for any other transmission or generation outages we may experience. There are still quite a bit of fires out there that definitely have us concerned. Looking forward to the next couple of days, the loads do begin to trend down. Tomorrow, we're looking at a 42,400 megawatt load. So, again, it's coming in lower. The things we're going to have to watch out for, though, continue to be the fires and the winds. We're anticipating strong winds the next couple of days. We have gotten heads up from all of our participating transmission owners and load serving entities that they will be activating some of the public service power shutoffs. So that they can prepare for the winds. We're coordinating with them. They've notified us of the lines that would be impacted, and we've included that into our day-ahead analysis and preparations so that we can make sure that we can keep the grid together. For any kind of impacts due to the PSPS events, though, we would have to contact the PTOs, PG&E, Southern California Edison, or San Diego Gas and Electric, as they have all the details to these plans and the number of customers that could be impacted. We get the line outages, but we don't always know what they're going to do on the distribution level below that. So, but that is something we're keeping an eye on and working with them, coordinating their line outages. And that's all I have, Eric. I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, thank you, John. We're ready for questions, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we move to Q&A, please press #2 on your telephone keypad to enter the verbal question queue. When your line is unmuted, you will hear a notification. At that time, please state your name, organization, and your question. Once again, please press #2 on your telephone keypad to ask a question. Thank you. We do have a couple of questions in the queue. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, this is Chris Ancarlo with KFI in Los Angeles. I had a quick question about some transmission wires that work their way through the Angeles National Forest right now, kind of under threat from the Bobcat fire. Where does that appear on your radar, and is there a concern that that could create a problem for distribution?
John, do you have an insight into that?
Yes, sir. This is John Phipps. The Bobcat fire is not a threat to the bulk electric system at this time. So for the California ISO, luckily that fire is not threatening any of our transmission system. I do understand that it is impacting some of the lower level or the lower voltage and distribution systems. I just don't have the details on that, though.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you. It's Dale Kassler from the Sacramento Bee. I'm looking at PG&E's projections for its public safety power shutoffs, and it looks like, by and large, nothing's really going to start happening until about 8 or 9 o'clock tonight, which I would imagine is after things start to ease off for you. So is there any, as a practical matter, would the public safety power shutoffs in any way affect what you folks are doing?
We've done the analysis. Our engineers did the analysis yesterday, given the information from PG&E. And at this point, we don't show any impacts to the bulk electric system that would cause us concern. With respect to just our overall grid condition, again, we don't see any complications with that PSPS on the bulk electric system.
Okay, thank you. And this was John?
I'm sorry, it's Eric Schmidt.
It was Eric. Okay, sorry. You guys sound a little bit alike. Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's move on to the next caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi there, this is Colby Brumell with Politico in Sacramento. Thank you. Had a few questions for you. Could you clarify about what the generation totaling 260 megawatts was that tripped offline?
I don't think we generally indicate the particular resource.
Okay, thank you. And I wanted to also ask a broader question. Obviously, there's transmission constraints in various ways that have been impacting, grid reliability. What kind of transmission, like reforms or changes, or would you like to see? Like, what can be done to kind of mitigate future issues like these?
I think I'd like to have Mark Rothleder possibly address that for you.
Sure. This is Mark Rothleder, Vice President of Market Policy and Performance at the California ISO. I think we have been clear that we believe there needs to be additional capacity built in the system. And that capacity needs to address not just the peak hour needs, but also the changing in needs of the system, which indicate that we are more and more in need of capability ramping and production capability in the few hours after the peak has occurred. So this is we're in the middle of a transition. It's important to ensure that the resource mix and the capability keeps up with that transition and looking at all hours, and more specifically, those hours shortly after the peaks in the summer.
Oh, I was asking about transmission, not generation. So does that mean building out more transmission as well?
With regard to transmission, and I think right now we plan our transmission in support of reliability, new resources coming into the system. And so we have a very robust process for planning that transmission. And over the last few years, there's been billions of dollars of new transmission built to ensure that new resources have access to the system. And we'll continue to plan the transmission system to ensure whatever new resources are necessary to meet the demands of the future.
Gotcha. And then a final question, if I may. If I recall correctly, the transmission line coming in from Oregon into Southern California, that was a DC circuit, and then there's obviously AC lines out there. So could you talk about that distinction and kind of what the relationship and kind of how that interplay impacts things for us right now?
So, John, why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. This is John Phipps. Yeah, there's, as you know, the Western Air Connection is made up of hundreds of lines, thousands of lines. But we do have some 500 kV AC lines that come from Washington, Oregon, down into California, and then a 1 million volt DC line that comes from Oregon into Southern California into Los Angeles. And they are in parallel. So whenever we lose any portions of those, they can impact the energy that's flowing on the other lines and the amount of energy we can actually schedule and import on those lines. So when we did lose a portion of the DC tie last night, the energy flowed right down the AC lines, but it did put the AC lines over their limit. So we had to mitigate those, reduce the flows on those lines. So we could bring less energy into California from outside and had to replace that with energy from within California or from the eastern neighbors.
Gotcha. And basically, like just that, like the DC lines can handle more capacity, resulting in that curtailment of the 500 megawatts, if I recall, on the AC lines, right?
The combination of the AC lines actually do have a higher scheduling or flow limit than the DC lines, but that is looking at three 500 kV lines in comparison to two DC lines. So the DC is a very strong intertie with the north, and it can import a large amount of energy. So it does have a big impact on the entire Western interconnection because it not only flows straight down the 500 kV AC system into California, but some of it does try to flow around through the other states and come in on the Southern California on our eastern ties. So it does have an impact on operations.
Gotcha. And then just a final question. You've been very generous. Thank you. Could you tell us more about the 960 megawatts of demand response that came from CLECA?
Sure. This is demand response that comes from commercial or larger customers. I understand that it's contracted demand response, and under certain circumstances, when the grid's in a warning or emergency mode, then our operators have the ability to call on this demand response. And when we call on it, then they respond in reducing load. And in our experience with this, it works very well during these kinds of situations where we can see that our supply is not going to be able to keep up with demand. It's obvious that the 960 is a pretty big number, so it really helps us out quite a bit.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Okay. It looks like we do not have any further questions in the queue at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, please press #2 on your telephone keypad if you wish to ask a verbal question. When your line has been unmuted, you will hear a notification. At that time, please state your name, organization, and your question. Once again, please press #2 on your telephone keypad if you wish to ask a question. It looks like we do have a few questions come into the queue. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, it's Brian Eckhouse with Bloomberg News in LA. How are you? Wanted to get a little more information about two things. You said you're running below forecast for the day today, but you're concerned about getting through the afternoon. What does that mean exactly?
John, go ahead.
Yep, this is John Phipps. The concern is that it's great that we're coming in below forecast. That helps give us some margin. The concern is, though, that we have these fires and threatening to the transmission system. If we lose anything at all, that margin just quickly disappears. And so since we are pushing our resources and transmission system to the limits, even on the day like today, it's below its forecast. But that's still pushing the system to its limit, and we are still having to run all of our generation and bring in energy from outside of California. So if we lose, as like yesterday, if we lose the DC or AC tie, we can quickly be having a jump into our emergency procedures. If there's conservation on days like today, it can actually reduce that level of response.
Got it. And then you were talking earlier about this fire that you thought was near farm, was actually at the farm. Was it, what kind of resource was it exactly, and what was the project?
This is John Phipps again. It's a gas-fired generator, but we can't divulge the names of the resources. That is confidential information. It was a gas-fired unit that had an issue at the plant that did cause a fire and took the unit out of service.
So the fire was happening, forest fire basically, and it took out a gas-fired generator, or the fire, or the generator went on fire itself? Mm-hmm. What happened exactly?
The one yesterday, the 500 megawatt unit, they actually had a hydraulic leak on the plant, which caused a fire, and it burned, damaged some of the equipment on the unit and forced it to go offline. And it's going to take several days to make repairs and get it back in service. But it was not a forest fire, but actually a mechanical failure at the plant.
Where in the state was this?
Southern California.
LA area?
But I really can't give you more specific. It was, right now, I can give you that, but yes. I can't give you anything.
Yeah, we need to move on.
Okay, let's move on to the next caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. This is Andrea Lopez with the San Diego Union Tribune. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes, we
Hello.
Can. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm actually calling in. I couldn't connect online, but I missed what you said. You mentioned something about SDG&E over here in San Diego. Just wondering what you said about that. Sorry about that. I got kind of disconnected at that time.
Yeah, can you give us more context? It's hard to respond without a little more context, please.
I think you were mentioning that companies in their respective areas would be notifying consumers about something, and then I lost the call.
Okay, possibly it's with respect to power safety programs, shutoff programs, the PSPS programs that the utilities are responsible for, and these are programs that are in place to when certain fire conditions exist, that they prepare outage requests, excuse me, and then the California ISO analyzes those and includes those in their bulk electric system analysis. So maybe we were talking about those, and the utilities indeed are responsible for describing the outage scope and actually executing the outage and then restoring the outage. Our responsibility is to just make sure the bulk electric system remains reliable during such events.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions in the queue at this time. With that, we will conclude this media briefing. Thank you for joining. Thank you for using AT&T Event Services. You may now disconnect.